Today I'll be finishing up our study on the David Murray book, The Happy Christian. And we've been considering the last chapter, which is Happy Diversity. And in the last study that we had, I read a portion of his own confession of his coming to understand his own racial biases that were revealed as he came to recognize his own pride, his own prejudice. That came out funny, didn't it? Pride and prejudice. He recognized he was Darcy. Let's see, let's put it that way. No, it was worse than that. He found himself thinking of himself better than the Hispanic immigrants that he was in the grocery store with. A very revealing, self-revealing passage there in Murray's book. And I was moved by that to think of my own sins of prejudice and how those are influencing or how they have a hold in my own life. Like Murray often does, he spends some time outlining the biblical position, and then he gives some very practical sides. It's kind of a Pauline practice almost. So I'm going to follow that here to close out. I've done that in each of the chapters, look at the Bible and then look at some of the practical aspects of that. So practically, we're going to focus today on addressing the sins that are attached when we try to limit diversity, whether that be conscious or unconscious, and how we might try to address that. And I'll follow the outline that Murray gives and expand on that just a little bit. Now, let me just cite a couple of statistics that he does. He cites that the churches in America, that 92.5% of the churches in the United States are segregated, and he defines that as being less than 20% of their congregation are of a minority aspect. And he's going to focus on racial diversity here. Understand that diversity is a broader topic than that, and I'm also not talking about diversity like the secular world talks about it in sexual ethics, but instead the concept is that we tend to want to think or to reach out to people who are just like us, and we tend to be comfortable with people who are just like us, who look like us, who think like us, who live like us, and that we think that is a better way to live. And in the first part of the study, I showed you how that it's not better, it's not biblical, and that it's right and it's healthy and it's happy for us to fight against the sinful temptations that limit our comfort zones or that color our opinions of other people. And so here are some practical steps that you can take to address that creeping sense of either uniformity or racial prejudice that happens in our lives. First of all, confess. We've taken some time today to confess national sins. And one of the sins that we confess today was pride. And there is a lot of pride that goes into any sense of uniformity. When I read David Murray's confession of his realization of his own prejudice, he says he realized he was opposing these other immigrants when he is an immigrant. And as he thought logically about it, he said, well, I'm the right type of immigrant. I'm better than they are. And that's pride. And it's pride that leads us, that opens the door to this type of prejudice. So it's right to confess it. It's right to ask God to forgive as you're convicted of thinking that way. To confess pride, to confess self-love, to confess arrogance or any prejudice that you come to recognize in your life. Secondly, the word he uses next is to equalize. And he says to make it a point to meditate on the biblical principle of equality. When we looked last week at what the Bible does say about all of mankind being created in the image of God, that has implications that wipe away racial prejudice. It takes effort. It takes time for you to purposefully think about how that is applied to you and your situation, to us here in Stillwater. And it's important for us to make a point of meditating on that principle of equality, and to see are there sins that are ours that we need to confess, and are there ways in which we try to insulate ourselves from other races or economic classes. Thirdly, he describes breaking barriers and building bridges. By this, he has in mind taking the step to reach across any division that you find in the culture around you, to be proactive about reaching out to those who are racially diverse, economically diverse, to address the neighbors that you have as genuine image bearers of God, and if they happen to be of a different nationality or of a different economic background, to be deliberate about building those barriers breaking the barriers and building bridges. That's what I got an opposite there.
Oh, the Unhappy.
Yes, the little-known companion volume, The Unhappy Christian. Fourth, he says to study other people groups, study their history, their culture, come to appreciate the things that are there. One thing that I took to heart here is that it's been in the consciousness of the Reformed churches recently to confess some of the sins attached with American history that has to do with slavery. The PCA and the ARP this summer very honestly and very deliberately said, we and our fathers have sinned in this way. And it's a very thoroughgoing confession that especially the PCA produced and agreed to as a church. And for us in the Reformed Presbyterian Church, sometimes we will stand back a little bit and say our hands are clean because we oppose slavery, which is right. Historically, the Reformed Presbyterian Church took a vocal and difficult stand saying owning slaves is a sin, that goes against God's word. But I think we sometimes grow proud in that position, and we have work yet to do because inequality has continued since the Civil War, and the civil rights history of the United States was also confessed by the PCA, and I don't think we as a denomination have clean hands that we could claim that we have built bridges or broken down barriers as we have ought. So there's one particular place where we might study how is that racial tension still felt today, and to not just say, oh, that you're just imagining things. We need to recognize the difficulties that African Americans have faced and continue to face. Reach out. I've already mentioned admire what is admirable. Come to appreciate the cultures that are around you and their expression of Christianity and their own culture. There's truth there that we can appreciate. Befriend. Don't go out with a project in mind, but instead look for friends. Not looking at their racial background, but befriend the families that are around you. And finally, teach. There is a song in the musical South Pacific that has to do with that. You have to be carefully taught. About what?
Not like people whose eyes are oddly shaped, people whose skin is the same color. I'd have to go through the
song from the start. Yeah, that's fine. Well done. It's a scathing rebuke, I think, of how prejudice is taught to our children. To counter that, we need to carefully teach as well, to teach generation after generation that God has made from one blood all the nations of the earth, and that in Christ there is no Jew nor Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but all are in Christ. So take that to heart, to train your children, to teach the next generations about the joy of diversity, and it's something that God has woven into the life of our congregation since its inception, a love for welcoming and showing hospitality to the international. Let's build on that and pray that the Lord would continue to grow within us the right biblical sense of diversity in our congregation. Again, that maybe poses more question than it answers, and I hope it does. I hope it provokes you to go home and think, how can I be developing this in my family, in myself, and in our congregation? I do want to share prayer requests together, and we'll take them home to pray for each other then. So what are your prayer requests? Joe?
We're going to Ponca City for Thanksgiving.